Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Jones and Keith, WEEI. If you're here for the grab bag, check out the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Thank you. We did the grab bag at 1 so we could make room for Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday here on WEEI. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. Thank you guys for holding on.
All good. Well, we want your intel from yesterday from Patriots OTAs. We've been playing a bunch of clips from the Patriots Talk podcast. You and Phil Perry, you seem to be pretty impressed by Steph Diggs, not only his presence physically being there, but how he looked on the field. Can the Patriots depend on Steph Diggs?
Hey, see, why do you always like leapfrog to something like that?
Well,
I can only go with what I see on June 2nd.
I already know what you. I know you like. You feel good. You're optimistic. You feel good about it. We're playing some clips.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
I don't know what he's going to be doing in October, but right now, for where he's been, Jonesy, the fact that he had an ACL 7 months ago, and to watch him take rep after rep after rep at full speed, well, 80% speed. But even being in a 2-minute, catching passes, taking the drills, which were kind of competitive drills in which guys were really racing and cutting, I was astounded that he was in that good a shape to be able to compete at that level. So to me, I think you put it this way, you can depend on him to most likely, not a doctor, be ready, I would think, somewhere in training camp. And I would bet on opening day, given that it's 100 days away still.
Do you think they put any kind of pressure on him to be like, hey, we'd really like you there on Monday after he missed the last one? And, you know, even aside from all the stuff on the boat or whatever, but just that he wasn't there, do you think they kind of went to him? Or what is your impression of that?
I would have to think the two things were intertwined. You know, if Scott Zolak, who I trust, is intimating that there are concerns about his buy-in, and then you have the boat video last week, and then he's out there not just in attendance and on the side, but taking part even more than Jalen Polk was taking part. Maybe they had a conversation that was, can we show that we're all in here? Because we're not seeing it, or we want to see a little bit more. But to his credit, he was out there. He worked his ass off. He stood, you know, behind the offense, away from the wide receivers, but with the quarterbacks watching. He spent some time with Jalen Polk. I'm not trying to put a buff and shine on, hey, he's a model citizen and he's going to have everybody under his wing, but it certainly had the previous weekend not happened, we would have been shooting off, you know, confetti guns.
We have a whole drawer full of those in the other room. And I saw Party City was going out of business. I stocked up. So that's good. That's a good way to think about
that. Oh, you're always in for a celebration.
That's true. That is me.
So is it your understanding? Rap Sheet said he passed his physical. Florio seemed to question that today at Pro Football Talk. Is it your understanding he's cleared his physical and now he's due his first batch of money from the Pats?
I have not plumbed that conversation because I'm clearing to partake in a limited basis in OTAs is different from clearing of, you know, being physically cleared to play in a regular season game. So I don't know who to believe on that. If both those guys are at loggerheads on that, I would presume that the physical to make sure that his ACL is completely ready to go would be coming later. I mean, otherwise he would be taking fully in part, including in the full speed 11-on-11. The stuff that he was taking part in was 11-on-11, three-quarter speed. He was running pretty hard, but it was not. He was off the field for the little more intense passing events.
Steph Diggs clearly very important to this team when you look at the other names in the receiver room right now. But one of those names is Efton Chisholm III. That we had brought him up to you maybe going a couple weeks back. Now we've seen him on the field a little bit more. What kind of legitimate shot does this guy have of maybe making this team?
I would say it's very legitimate. He was out there with the ones a fair amount yesterday. Ahead of Baker, it seemed. Now, they might not be playing the exact same spot, but he was on the field with DeMario Douglas, too, and those are similarly shaped guys. He seems to get open, understand the nuances. They're running a lot of different personnel out there. He's involved in them, and he never drops the ball, period. He's just, his hands are glue, and he's constantly open. So, to me, it's, unfortunately, stereotypically, it looks like Edelman did 12 or 13 years ago. So did Braxton Berrios, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's that kind of dependability that when you run this style offense, that's going to be a spot that's frequently open in that intermediate range. And he sits down nicely in that pocket, you know, just inside the linebackers or over the linebackers and makes a lot of plays.
So the analogy I made earlier, and I haven't seen him as you have, so I don't even mean play style wise, but I can see this being good and bad. N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers in the same camp. I remember saying at the time, boy, this Myers kid is standing out, which I guess is good for him, but a bad sign for N'Keal Harry, which I guess both were kind of true. Myers went on to be a really good player, a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL, eventually in Vegas. So is Chisholm standing out a good thing for him and the receiver room, or does it say more about the lack of guys you can rely on in the receiver room? Do you understand what I'm trying to drive at?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, 100%. I get exactly what you're saying. You know, is it coming at the expense of who? Is he leapfrogging guys who should be, you know, blocking out an undrafted free agent? And I would say, yeah, in the case of Baker, Polk, again, I said it to you last week, he continues to look like, you know, a top-tier elite receiver when he's running on the other field. He just looks good. So I don't know. I said the same thing last year, once bitten, twice shy. He looks good. But if you had to say, okay, well, who will Efton Chisholm be on the team in place of if Booty continues to play okay, which he has, if Polk plays and transfers, Douglas will have his spot, Williams will have his spot, Diggs will have his spot, I would have to say that if Kendrick Bourne can be deemed expendable because some of these younger guys can play, then that would be a place I'd look. I'm leaving Baker out of the conversation because I think he is in an uphill swim right now, period. But you have to look at the whole room and say, all right, we can really only dress five. Who are we dressing? Chisholm might have, you know, special teams relevance as a returner. So I'd keep an eye, and I know that that Josh McDaniels loves Kendrick Bourne. He's gotten good production from him, but just, you know, handicapping where guys would possibly be on the cut line, I would say Kendrick Bourne could be if all these younger players continue to show maturity and to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there.
What, if anything, Tom, has stood out regarding Will Campbell, and does it matter yet at this point that he's one of seven first-round picks not to sign a contract?
Nothing has really stood out. He's out there all the time, and when you talk to guys, yesterday we talked to Nwenu, they all love the way he carries himself and the way he operates. So to me, he's where he's supposed to be. He's not getting dusted. May had a terrific day, which I'm sure we'll get to a little bit, but I think a lot of that was, you know, the offensive line was screening better than they were previously, because that's really all they're doing. But he looks good. And as for the contract, they're slotted, so there should be no drama.
Right.
There really should be no drama at some point, because there's only so much you can make. You know, there's one Drake May's contract from last year, or something resembling it. I'm not sure how left tackles and quarterbacks are defined when you start divvying up the money, or if it's just a straight slot. I think quarterbacks tend, I think position does, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think position can sometimes be a boost when those rookie contracts are done, maybe a little more guaranteed money or something like that.
Tom, you mentioned Drake May and the improvements. We started at OTAs a couple of weeks ago, four picks, panic in the streets. He was 9 of 17 last week. You were on EEI Afternoons. I believe you said something like, you know, the throws were inaccurate. It was like a shortstop skipping a throw. Yesterday had a much better day, 14 of 16 in competitive drills. And on top of that, it sounds like you were there, I wasn't. It sounds like he was testing the intermediate and deep part of the field more than he had. So what did you see out of Drake May yesterday?
He was just really accurate, really accurate. Ball came out quickly. There was less time spent with guys buzzing the tower on him, but he made an unbelievable throw to Kayshawn Booty down the left sideline, just put it on a platter as he was in a dead out sprint running a corner, and then, you know, put it right where it's on his hands on the sidelines. And then another one on a wheel route to Ramondre Stevenson. He hit a lot of, we had a very good vantage point behind the offense on the hill, so you could see the windows opening up, and he showed great anticipation hitting guys as they opened up over the middle. So just really a good day. And to me, it just speaks to some of the stuff that McDaniels was talking about, that, you know, every play's a good play now because the good ones are good because they're good, and the bad ones are, well, they're learning experiences. And I'm saying it kind of jokingly, but he learned and played better. They might be out there next week in minicamp and he pees down his leg. I think that's probably what you're going to see from a second-year player frequently, but he just made throws yesterday where, you know, he's got the arm strength, but he just made a couple throws. You're like, yeah, I haven't seen a throw like that in a while. And Tom didn't really throw it that freaking hard. It didn't explode out of his hand like that either. So it's just a rare chance, and that's where you, like, appreciate the chance in the media to be at these things and have the vantage point to watch these guys throw. You're like, holy crap, what an athlete.
Well, speaking of what an athlete, I mean, do you think they're going to let him run and not, you know, run first or anything like that? But we were looking back on it. His second year in college, when Drake May was the most productive passing the ball, he also ran quite a bit. Last year, he had a really great, you know, yards per carry. And if you kind of just add what he did last year, he should be maybe a top five quarterback in running. Is that something you think they'd be open to?
I'm curious to find out myself.
Yeah.
Because you should employ the ability that he has. It's why you drafted him number three, not because he was the greatest, most accurate pocket passer you've ever seen, but because of the array of skills that he has and the speed to get to the edge and the speed to be decisive and pick up 15 or 16, you know, on a third and 10, because he's so friggin' fast and decisive and big. So I'm sure that they're going to. Are they going to put him in harm's way with a whole bunch of read options where guys could take a free run at him because he's, in essence, a ball carrier, even if he hands off? I would say that that probably isn't going to happen a ton, but until I see it, I don't know. And I think that McDaniels is interesting in the way he's talking right now, in the way he's inferring that he's open to a lot of new ideas, whether it's provided by his fellow coaches or things that he's gleaned in the college game and the pro game during the year off last year. So I don't think it's going to be a mimeograph, fax, you know, carbon copy of what they've always done. I think he will tweak things to take advantage of May.
Okay, so I was actually just about to ask about that. I know you guys are very limited in what you can actually pass along formationally and in terms of plays they run and things like that. But I was just going to ask about that. Is the McDaniels offense actually going to look different than the last time we saw it in various stops in Vegas and everything else? You seem to think there will be some changes given what he experienced in college and everything else over the last year. I was just going to ask about that. And so that to me would be very promising if we're going to see some new stuff from Josh.
Yeah, and I think that he's open to it. I think the last thing that he would want to be accused of is being non-innovative and archaic. But he is also a very hard grader, and if he thinks that May will be exposed by his receivers not running at the right depth or not, you know, being available at the right times, and he has to say, you know what, now we have to dumb it down because this guy and this guy can't do it. Sorry, Drake, it's him, not you. Then I think that he would do that because he has a very low tolerance, as they all should, for idiocy. And I think that's something that Vrabel, to side note, Vrabel's making it very clear to them on a regular basis. We need to be able to take advantage of S football. And I'm not sure we can do that yet. And they had three false starts on a practice-ending sprints thing. Three guys left before the count, which was kind of funny the way they were doing it. They would get down before they did this 30-yard sprint, and they would have a quarterback count it out. And there were guys jumping. And Vrabel kind of made a point afterwards of, if you do stupid things, teams around the NFL will notice it and they'll take advantage of it. We can't have that. So right now I'm looking for guys who don't do stupid things, who take advantage of stupid things. So that's what I'm looking for, is basically the message he was sending.
Okay. He's Tom E. Curran, joins us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You can check him out, Tommy Curran on Twitter. Check him out all over NBC Sports Boston as well. Quick Slants, Early Edition, BST, et cetera, et cetera. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI. He'll be on Thursdays as well on WEEI Afternoons. Check that out. And speaking of WEEI Afternoons, they got the manager, right, Alex Cora, I believe 2:30, thumbs up, 2:30 today for Alex Cora, tentatively scheduled for WEEI Afternoons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
There's a lot there and nothing there at all, depending on how you hear it, from my guy Crapsheet NFL Network.
A lot of gobbledygook.
Yeah. So, what? Dan Ball, timestamp on that?
Right now?
No, like, that's recent, correct? Like,
oh, yeah, that's within 40, call it 24 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that report would have been more valuable that they're not going to cut him last Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. Thank
this
you.
Week, not as valuable. He's on the practice field. I know they're not going to cut him. He's running square drills behind Kayshawn Booty. He's making plays. He's patting guys on the head. Okay, so not going to cut him. But buried in there, he said something, which I don't know if it's true or not, because if it's true, I think he would have led with it. It would have actually been news. It would have been noteworthy. He said, now that he's passed his physical from the ACL, because if that's true, he's passed his physical. Now they can't really cut him because his signing bonus is now enacted. In fact, I believe they owe him a payment based on the reporting of $4 million within like the week. If he's actually passed his physical, there'll be another one on Halloween and another one at the end of the season. So the money was zero until he passes his physical. But if Crapsheet didn't misspeak there, if he's reporting that he passed his physical, then Stephon Diggs is going nowhere. In fact, Stephon Diggs just went cha and ching and cashed his paycheck. Ted.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I heard him say that exactly.
Oh, no, he said it.
Okay.
Stiz, re-rack that and let me know when you get it ready.
It is. But there's, look, I've struggled with this. It's a new era of football. Like, in my time, this is not ideal. What Stephon Diggs was caught doing is not ideal.
Yep.
They cared more about culture back then. Look, the money's bigger. The social media impact is bigger. These guys, the diva kind of personality is only going to get bigger in the stars, the wide receivers in the NFL than it was when I played. Then this is the price of doing business. When you can't draft and develop guys, this is what you got to do. You got to take chances with guys. And so this is what they did. And it's really not that surprising. At the end of the day, we weren't going to really, there was not going to be any public punishment. We weren't going to know. All we're going to know, all I have to assume is that Vrabel had a talk with him, and it was a stern talk with him, and it was like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? Help us out. You can't be doing this. It's a bad look. You know, that kind of thing. That's really the only thing that was ever going to come out of this from the very beginning, because they need the guys so bad. They're going to put up with stuff more than maybe what other teams would.
Stiz, give me that part about the signing bonus again.
Now, I mean, my understanding is the team does not plan to cut Stephon Diggs. He's a very good player. They intend to pay him a lot of money. They haven't yet. They intend to pay him a lot of money, especially after he passed the physical from his ACL recovery.
Okay, thank you.
After
he passes it?
I heard past.
Go back that. That part about the physical, Stiz, one more time.
They intend to pay him a lot of money, especially after he passed the physical.
After he passed the physical.
No one else is saying. That's all.
No, I know, and that's my point. I think he misspoke. I think he means to say after he passes the physical.
I would think he's passed a physical. He's out there running around, right? I mean, he looks pretty good out there.
Yeah, I don't know where that is, but I don't think that he has passed the physical that enacts his contract. I find that hard. I mean, I think Crapsheet misspoke a little bit there. I do, because I think that would, if he knew that, that would be the headline. That would be what he'd be tweeting about. That would be information. That would be valuable. That would be running rampant. Stephon Diggs not going anywhere. He's passed his physical. Contract has been enacted.
But I don't think that all of a sudden just makes it like he's getting his $12 million. It's
oh, yeah.
$4 million paid out increments. What if something happens after?
He gets $12 million. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Unless he retires.
All right.
But that is the language I've read in the contract that's been reported by Florio and others is once he passes his physical, that signing bonus is his. It just comes in the installments.
We're probably getting bogged down in things that aren't that important. But the point, but you see him out there running around looking like he looks, and you forget what he do in Miami. I don't remember what he did. Like, who cares? Like, he looks like 100% when you just watch the.
Oh, you thought? I didn't think that.
He looks strong. Coming off of
an
ACL.
Hitch in his giddy. Coming off an ACL, I think he looks good. But I don't think he looks like.
He looks further along than I would have assumed he would look only 7 months after an ACL.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Good. See, that's positive because I took it as a positive. Just the fact that he's here and he's out there, I said yesterday, were two positives. But Ted, I know you got a whole rundown here. Point number, what are we on? Number three?
It's all good.
No, give me the next one. You came in hot and heavy on Stephon Diggs.
Here's the thing. The Stephon Diggs, you're going to put up with stuff because when the lights go on, he always delivers. Yep. He has historically done that.
If he's invested.
He, He's been invested every year he's played, if you look at the production.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I would argue with that. Yeah. I mean, I would not argue with that. If you look at just the numbers.
And there's been issues with him, little stuff, maybe, you know, like this is, look, it doesn't feel little, but it is at the end of the day what he was caught doing. It's at the end of the day, there's really not going to be any repercussions for it. So it is a little deal to, but he still is able to play at a high level, even with all these little things that come with him.
Fitzy, I know you were on the fence yesterday in your 3-point stance. Like, one more thing. Are we softening on that? Like, are we starting to accept that Stephon Diggs is going to be a member of the Patriots all year and Stephon Diggs is going to be a key member of your offense?
My 3-point stance was one more party boat, one more huge headache for the organization, and you need to cut bait because it's going to be too many headaches and not enough return on your $69 million football investment. I do think that he's going to stay within the lines enough to be on the field this fall. I do think he's going to be an impactful member of the offense and the team. And yesterday you started seeing just tiny little bits of the dividend being paid out when he was working with the aforementioned legend of Efton Chisholm. He was on field showing, there was a nice little clip that made its way out yesterday of him working with Jalen Polk in front of Todd Downing, trying to show him how to get out of press coverage. You know, one thing you forget, especially since we haven't seen him on field in a year's time now, is Diggs, in addition to being a really sharp route runner, is a very aggressive, very physical wide receiver as well. So he, you know, Polk was too passive for his own good in a lot of ways last year, and, well, everything on the team was kind of a tire fire. So watching Diggs out there working with all these guys, this was the positive. This was the benefit to overpaying him to get him in here that I was hoping for. And it was nice to actually see a little bit of that yesterday as well. And back to your point about the physical, couldn't there be – I'm no professional athlete, nor have I ever portrayed one on television. But, Ted, when you came back from injuries, did you ever have sort of benchmark physicals? Not like the final one that cleared you for contact to get back out in the field and be game ready, but physicals along the way, like you should be X far along in your recovery here. So it's sort of like a check-in type of physical or a way station type physical?
I don't remember that. No,
Yeah, so and I don't think those would qualify the way that I've read about the contract, but let's mix in some phone calls here. 617-779-7937. Our buddy Joe in Melrose has some thoughts on Patriots OTAs. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I definitely do. I think Stephon Diggs is your number one. I think Matt Collins is your number 6/special teamer, and then you get 4 open positions. So if Efton Chisholm is the best player, you should take him. Should not keep him. You should not keep guys depending on their draft status, especially like Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. Like last year, none of the other receivers could get over 2 yards of separation, according to PFF. And, I think the best receivers the Patriots have right now, if you have like a third down offense, you're going to need to get a first down. You want like Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, and 2 tight end set, Stephon Diggs, and Trevion Henderson is your third down running back, like looking for the screen. But then whoever's left, I mean, whether it's DeMario Douglas or Efton Chisholm or whoever, or Kyle Williams, that's your like 11th player on the field. So I don't think the Patriots have the luxury if like DeMario Douglas and Efton Chisholm are the 2 best receivers to say, well, we're going to keep Jalen Polk instead.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, I don't care about draft status. I just, if you have Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper and Douglas and Chisholm, your quarterback better be very quick, very accurate, because he's going to be making a lot of throws within like 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's my only question, is how they fit together.
We need more, you know, X's and Z. X's and Z's.
You know, but coaches always say you need good football players too, and if those are your best football players, there's a balance. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Rich in the truck. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good, man.
Super.
Excellent. Andy, I'm just curious. Does your headphones reach over the side of your head where you can actually listen and they're on your ears?
I believe they do, but what is...
Because if you listen to that callback, if you listen to that cut again on crap report, as you call them...
Crap sheet.
It says, especially after he passes his physical. Especially after he passes his physical.
Passed. Every time. Not E-S-E-D.
No, it says no, it doesn't. Nope. It says, especially after.
You know, but I'm not questioning.
They intend to pay him a lot of money, especially after he passed the physical.
Passed. Dan Ball, what'd you hear?
after he passed the physical.
Passed with a D, not an ES. And Ted is right. We're kind of getting caught in the weeds here. But the part I wasn't questioning was after or any of that. It was whether it's an ES or an ED on that word. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we will not continue to break down what Crapsheet said. We'll break down what Mina Kimes has said. And she was a big fan of the Patriots a year ago. She wasn't exactly right, but she's a big fan of the Patriots and what their offense is going to be this season. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Does a loss like that last night where your team shows such heart and such compete all the way through, 8 innings of one-run baseball from your bullpen only to come up just a run short late like that, does that hurt a little bit more?
It's been hurting the whole season. It's, like I said a few days ago, Bill Parcell used to say, right, you are what your record shows, right? And 61 run games, and it's one play, one pitch, one decision. Put the ball in play with man third, and you win the game. And this is our season right now. We have to be better.
Alex Cora earlier today here on WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. Yeah, it's been a tough season, and he continues to deal with it with a smile on his face and a hop in his step.
You took my thought right out of my brain right there. That's amazing. I thought the same thing. He came in here like just kind of skipping and excited to go to work and do an interview with us when, you know, there's not a lot for him to be excited about. I think it's if you don't have that attitude every day in this town, coaching this team, I think it'll eat you up and spit you out. And so he has this kind of wall over him, this thing that just I just got this little, you know, you can't see it, but I can feel it, this that kind of keeps him protected, and that's how he gets up every day and coaches his baseball team.
Dan,
can I just say it was one of the more surprising things I've had in 6 months at EEI, where I was standing with my back to the door and Alex Cora just comes running through the door to the microphone.
So I also think for some reason he thought he was late.
Yes.
I got the impression maybe he was kind of bounding through the door because he thought maybe we had already started, because we had gotten a text that maybe he would was meeting.
He might have thought you guys were on air already, and he was just like running right in with the camera on him and everything.
So
which I appreciate.
People pleaser, even in the face of all the controversy and difficulties of this team. How about that?
But Fitzy, in that light, is there a portion of Boston that doesn't like that? Is there a portion of miserable New Englanders that are like, I'm pissed off about my baseball team. Damn it, I don't want the manager laughing and smiling when he talks about how miserable this season has been. How does that resonate with the masses of which you like to rub elbows?
Not very well. As you see, oftentimes whenever we share clips from these interviews or those clips are aggregated or even some of his in-game things that he does on the MassMutual pregame show, whatever it is he says, which seems to entertain us and keeps him light of heart, never seems to go over well. Sox fans have been big mad at Alex Cora for a while, and the more the team struggles, like with games like last night, and yet he still seems to come in here upbeat, it bothers him. It bothers him a lot, actually.
I don't think the players, if he had a different attitude, I think it would wear down the players. I do. I think if you were just this miserable guy to work for, nothing was good enough, you're putting guys on blast, that in a baseball locker room, that would wear veterans and old guys. It would scare the crap out of the young. You know, I think it would tighten up the young guys, and the old guys would just tune them out.
Yep.
So as much as the fans don't like it, I feel that's the better disposition to have every day when you go to work to coach a baseball team than it is, say, a basketball team or even a football team.
To hear more from Alex Cora, you can download the Odyssey app, or you can stick around to 5 o'clock. We'll replay that interview where he had not only interesting energy, but some interesting notes, things that he said, some takes on some of the issues facing his team. Another interesting take is Mina Kimes, who is all in on Drake May. I was right last year. She was wrong. We'll see who's right and wrong this year. But Stiz, let's roll this Mina Kimes love fest for the Patriots and their offense.
There's a lot of facets to this pairing that I think will work. But one thing I would
I'm particularly optimistic about is I think the run game as a whole is going to be a lot better. Some of that has to do with the reworking of the offensive line. The addition of Travion Henderson was a draft pick I absolutely loved out of Ohio State. Gives them a bell cow back who's also they can use in the passing game, pass protection, things like that. But also what you alluded to there, which is Drake May last year proved to be absolutely dynamite as a runner. Top three in just about every advanced metric. Success rate, missed tackles forced, rushing yards over expected. And Josh McDaniel, people may have forgotten, worked with Cam Newton, so he can call a design quarterback run game. I think you're going to see some option football in New England, and I wouldn't be surprised if it all comes together, maybe more than people expect.
Ted Johnson, we're going to get you're an expert on option football. You played Nebraska in the 90s.
Triple option, the Veer, yeah.
You are as high on Drake May as anyone, and maybe as high on the Patriots as anyone. On the other side, I want to get your reaction to what we hear from Mina Kimes about Drake May and what this offense is going to look like here on WEEI Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Pretty good encore last night, Chime. That version of that song, that cover of that song last night at the concert.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing they do now, too. They bring out all the opening acts from the night, and then everybody's on stage singing and jamming and having a good time to end the night. It's a good way to end.
Good times. Chime and I, concert bros. Mm-hmm. What's our next concert, Chime?
Ooh, I don't know. What is, you want to go to Mumford & Sons with me later this month?
No. Okay. I would rather stick a giant needle in my eye.
I figured that was the
answer. Hey, Greg, you know, if you didn't waste your time doing things outside of sports, you would have seen the Thibodeau firing a month ago.
Did I miss that?
Save the seals.
Was that in the Twitch chat or something, Curtis? I missed the comment. Who is that from?
Game Dog. Oh, we watched Netflix. So, we didn't know Thibodeau was going to get fired.
I think
Sham Sharania, I don't know, does he watch Netflix? Is he a connected guy?
Yeah.
Is he like the number one news person in the NBA? Mm-hmm. I think his tweet was, shocking NBA news. It was a shock to Shams, but not Game Dog.
Is Game Dog suggesting that he knew that Tom Thibodeau was going to be fired by the New York Knicks?
Right. And if we didn't watch the Bin Laden 3-part series on Netflix, so would we.
I didn't know it was coming, but it didn't shock me. It shocked me. Yeah, because there was whispers about it. With that roster, where he got them, the guy,
they named a street after him. It's shocking.
What are we talking about? Because the whispers afterwards were, is Thibodeau the right coach for this team? That was the whispers afterwards.
Why would you watch people that just watch Netflix and don't know anything about sports? What a weird way to start your day. Every single day.
So,
some of us also don't know anything about filling the gas tank up either, apparently.
Yeah, I guess not. I thought I had miles left to go, but
you said 95. How did you get that wrong?
I don't know.
So can
that's
we just,
not even close.
For those who weren't listening late yesterday, when the Porsche dealership checked in, your issue that led to your breakdown yesterday morning on Storrow Drive was you ran out of gas.
It was a gas issue.
Okay.
And then they told me that when there is a gas issue, the auto start-stop mechanism comes on and says that there's an issue and your engine light comes on. So that's why I was kind of confused with that.
Okay.
But you know what? Well, hey, it is what it is. And guess what? It's a lot better than there being some type of engine issue that would, you know, cost you an arm and a leg.
A lot cheaper, Wiggs.
Yep, I can deal with that. Shout out to all the people over there at Herb Chambers Porsche for
helping
the brother
out. Did you pick it up yesterday? You're all good?
Yeah, I picked it up.
Okay.
You know what I got to say, though? This is annoying to me, and I don't get it. Like, I take Ubers.
Yeah.
And for some, I like to have the window open, and the Uber driver is always like, oh, can you shut the window?
What?
Yeah, they're always shut the window. I don't know if they're trying to save gas.
Are you sure that you're not mishearing them and they're saying, can you shut your mouth?
No.
Save gas.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you have your window open?
Because the air conditioning's on.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a window down guy. Because I
like window down.
But
maybe you say one or the other. Say, can you turn the AC off?
I did, but you know, maybe there was just a language barrier.
I mean, I feel...
What's your Uber rating?
My Uber rating's spectacular.
Really?
Yeah.
Extra butter.
I feel like if you've commandeered the Uber, you're paying for it.
Yeah.
You should be able to dictate what the conditions are.
That's what I would think.
Like, you want the radio on, you want to pick WEEI.
Right.
Or in your case, you want to pick Jammin 94.5, you ought to be able to pick that.
I should, and I should have, you know, the ability to keep my window, you know, open, close, whatever it is. And I should sometimes have the ability to help them out because the Uber navigation system always takes them in the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
And so I'm like, you know, you're going the wrong way, but...
Now, do you feel the same if they have the window down and you want it up?
No, because I'm always like, if I'm in the passenger.
But if you didn't, if you weren't a window open guy, can you tell the Uber driver to close the window? Because I've done that before.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I would
it's
think
all
so.
it's the rider that gets to pick.
Yeah, I would think so.
Did you have to Uber because Mrs. Wiggins is not allowing you to drive her car anymore?
No, I had an Uber to pick the car up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, I drove today.
Who do you think has the best Uber rating on the show?
Ooh. I do.
Oh,
I don't know. I think I might.
All right.
Well, you're in Lowell. Like, you don't Uber much.
I mean, I still Uber a decent amount.
Okay. Yeah. I have mine up.
I never Uber.
How do you know where your rating is?
If you go to your account, it's upper left-hand corner.
Oh, okay.
What is yours?
4.92.
Ooh. Oh, that's pretty
okay,
good.
Okay, Wiggs.
That is good. That's
and then it says good. Verified next to it, whatever that means.
I'm a flat 5.0, Daddy.
That's oh, really? God.
Yes, sir.
Huh.
That's pretty good.
What?
Are you sure that wasn't the number of putts on the second hole at Granite Links?
Nope, Curtis, you can verify if you'd like.
Well done.
Wow. So I would think they would let me give me the ability to do with the window what I like if my rating's that high.
I'm 4.86, and I always think that that's good. Wow, 4.92 and a 5. Damn.
Well, it's probably – several texters are suggesting it's that weird noise the automobile makes if the back window is the only one open.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why they are
complaining.
Well,
then he could just roll his window down a little bit.
Crack a different window.
Yeah, and eliminate that.
That noise is so annoying, though.
But you're right. It's my Uber. I should decide what I want to do.
It is. All right. Tomorrow on this show, Kevin Millar on the Boston Red Sox at 7:20. Curtis asked him to be on the show, and he said, why not me? Why not tomorrow? Right, Curtis? Is that what Kevin Millar said?
We got a cowboy up.
Right. Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, can't wait for that. And then after the show...
We can ask Kevin Millar about the Netflix series he was a part of.
Yeah.
Correct. We watch a lot of Netflix, not a lot of sports. And then we are off to Maine, and we will see you tomorrow night for pregame for the road show at Cowbell, which is at Rock Row in Westbrook, and Friday morning at the Brunswick for our annual Maine roadshow. Roadshow number 4 during season 4 of roadshows here at WEEI. But right now, let's what?
Well, I just wanted to correct myself.
What?
Well, Crank and Carl, you know, hand up, this is on me. Game tonight, Reds, or game today, Red Sox, is 135, not 710. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
Oh, okay.
I had it in the script from yesterday. Oh. I should have double-checked my work.
Yeah,
that is
really,
on me.
You should double-check your work,
I should triple-check. It is on me. And maybe. Joe Weil is doing pregame.
Okay. All right. Thank you,
Bad
Courtney.
Start.
Let's get to this, Shy.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
What a loss. Monumental loss when it comes to music. Chris Cornell. And the leads this morning are brought to you by Subaru. It's going to be a Subaru summer. Find your 2025 Subaru at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Shyam.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. So New England Patriots are having voluntary OTAs and stuff going on. But there's one name that, especially guys like Phil Perry, continue to beat the drum for, and that seems to be Efton Chisholm.
Yes.
I'm curious where people stand on the possibility of yet another undrafted guy that was, what, Eastern Washington, I believe is where he's from, could possibly make the roster and in some way make an impact.
He's like Bubs Edelman 2.0.
Yeah, maybe not as good, maybe more. I think somebody has comped him to, like, young Danny Amendola, who was still good, right? Like, took him a little bit to break into the NFL, but when he did, he was really good with the St. Louis Rams at the time, and a guy like Sam Bradford, so maybe he can be that for Drake May. I'm curious to see what Efton Chisholm can bring, especially once we actually start playing games, like in preseason games. I'm curious how many reps he actually gets with Drake May. He naturally fits the slot position much better than Pop Douglas in the Josh McDaniels offense. Mm. And so I'm curious if that's going to open a door for him and give him a chance. Mm. And it would be cool. It would be a great story for an undrafted guy to make the opening day roster and have an impact.
The Patriots have opened the door for any slower, shorter, route-running white receiver. Now he's Edelman 2.0. Edelman was Welker 2.0. You know, before that, it all started when back in the day. I remember Wayne Krabet, because that's where it originated when I was with the Jets.
He was great.
And then Troy Brown. We'll see what happens. I never get caught up in this stuff because I can't remember the tight end's name from, years back. He had a great preseason.
Nate Sudfeld.
Yes. And they were like, you know, he was like him and Gronk, and it's just like I never get caught up in guys having great OTAs, you know, especially undrafted guys.
Or guys having bad OTAs.
Yeah, because it doesn't really – even preseason games, we've seen it all the times where guys have great preseason games. Who's he in the huddle with? And I know I heard he was in the huddle with Drake May, but let me see come training camp, like 2 weeks in – who he's in the huddle with.
Well, that's the big thing for me, Wiggs. Like, come preseason games, is he going to be on the field when Drake May's on the field? Because
right. If
that's the case, then that matters to me.
Yes.
And I'm really kind of curious to see how he does, because I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, that's the key what you look at is when training camp starts. When Drake May's in the huddle, who's he in the huddle with for the, you know, consistently?
Yeah. All right. Great lead, Sean. Yep.
Thank you.
We will get to some of the rest of today's leads next. Hold on just 1 minute. Before we get back to leads, there is ice cream in the studio. And I know it's early. But Jerry of Ben and Jerry's has stopped by. Jerry, good morning.
Yay, ice cream for breakfast.
Now, may I ask, you are here because of the Scooper Bowl, is that correct?
I am always here because of the Jimmy Fund Scooper Bowl, the largest ice cream event in the universe.
Mm. Starts today?
No, it starts Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
12 to 8, Boston City Hall Plaza, raising money for the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And this year, 16, that's right, count them, 16 different ice cream companies will be donating all their ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You pay one fee to get in. You eat as much ice cream as you want from as many vendors as you want. We have a ton of new vendors this year. It's incredible. I can't contain myself.
Well, those who listen to the show know I happen to be partial, no offense, to Van Leeuwen. Is Van Leeuwen a part of the program?
Absolutely.
Really?
First year for Van Leeuwen.
Okay.
I was trying to hide this from Greg, Jerry, but I know that ice cream cake is his favorite flavor from Van Leeuwen, and Jerry brought it this morning. Every time Jerry comes, I get so excited because I know I'll be able to just have ice cream all morning.
There you go.
Hey, can I tell you all the vendors who are going to be there?
Yes.
So, not just Ben and Jerry's. Brigham's, Edie's, Friendly's, Haagen-Dazs, Holy Cow from Gloucester, Hood, Johnny Pops from Minnesota. Lizzie's Ice Cream, local. Lucky Day, non-dairy, local. McConnell's Ice Cream from Santa Barbara. Melona from South Korea. Philadelphia Water Ice. Tillamook from Oregon. And last but not least, Van Leeuwen.
Van Leeuwen, fantastic. We need a show collab with a Ben and Jerry's flavor. Can we do that?
I'll be happy to put you on the list.
Okay. Well, excuse me.
Can you
me.
Imagine I'm, that other people want their own flavor? It's a funny thing.
I was thinking, what about Rocky Road Show? Because of our road show.
There you go. That's a good one.
I like that.
Do you have a particular flavor or ingredients that you'd like in your flavor?
We'd have to create something.
I know. I mean, we all have very different tastes. Yeah. Like, I like a cookie dough, but I also like a black raspberry chip.
See, I love like a Reese's Pieces, like a chocolate and peanut butter.
I like Chuckles candy. Have you ever put Chuckles candy into an ice cream?
You guys are totally incompatible as far as an ice cream flavor.
Correct.
Maybe you do okay on the radio, but if we tried to put you all in a pint, you would be nowhere.
All right. Well, the Scooper Bowl is back. What year is this for the Scooper
42,
Bowl?
42. The 42nd annual.
Wow, unbelievable. All right. Well, thank you for the ice cream. I'm going to have to steal the Van Leeuwen back from Courtney, I think. But great to see you, Jerry.
Thank you so much. Thank you for supporting the Jimmy Fund Scooper Bowl. You guys are great.
Okay. Well, by the way, what was the most popular? Was Cherry Garcia the most popular Ben and Jerry's flavor of all time?
Half-baked is number one, which is half chocolate chip cookie dough, half chocolate fudge brownie.
Yes.
As you know, the brownies are baked. The cookie dough is unbaked. Together, they're half-baked.
Half-baked. And you met Wiggy fully baked every morning here.
I have a question, too, for Jerry. Wiggy always makes fun of me saying that coffee ice cream is an old head flavor. Coffee ice cream's for everybody, correct?
It's very popular in Rhode Island for some reason. It's like a huge thing in Rhode Island.
See?
Well, there you go. It's huge in Rhode Island.
Well, it's probably
the old people like it in Rhode Island.
Well, they have the drink down there, the coffee milk drink, which is called the Cabinet. Have you ever had that?
No, I never had that.
Very popular.
Hey, one other thing.
Yeah.
Thursday night is Scoop at Night at Scooper Bowl.
Okay.
So that's from 5 to 8. There's a special product, creme de liqueur, which is liqueur-infused frozen custard. And you get a couple of adult drinks from four breweries, and you get all the other stuff, too. So that's an add-on.
Scoop at Night, also what Steph Diggs was doing on the boat with Cardi B.
Yeah, he was.
All right, Jerry, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there's Jerry. And so Scooper Bowl is happening in your event. And of course, we are not that far away from this year's annual Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, which will happen in August. And you incredible people are getting close. Curtis will have to help me with the math a little bit, but you guys are getting close to $100 million donated Jimmy Fund-wise. What are we at, 70 or 75 or something like that, Curtis?
I think approaching 80.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. So a couple days coming in August at Fenway Park for this year's Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. But
back to this morning's leads. Curtis, good morning and hello.
Hey, Greg. Man, I feel really poor right now sitting here after Jerry. But so over the weekend, got some info about the Patriots. A couple things of note regarding Steph Diggs. The big man, as in RKK, very unhappy with the events of last week.
Okay.
Went to the top of the organization. The wide receiver room is the rudderless room of the organization. Part of the agreement with Vrabel and the Patriots and Steph Diggs before signing him to the roughly $70 million deal was that he would be rehabbing here and a presence with the young receivers in the offseason. That was what most irked Vrabel last week, which was you had Baker and others playing like idiots, and the best player on the field, the guy that would command the room, would have the respect in the ears and the eyes of the young guys, didn't have Steph Diggs to look toward. So the organization, I believe, this is just now my guess, they were trying to leverage the player before they could cut him. But another nugget, this is from Mike Reese, not related to what I just said. If he doesn't pass a physical when he's done his offseason rehab, the $12.5 million is back. Like, that hasn't been set in stone. That hasn't been paid yet. The roster bonus and the signing bonus only are paid when he passes the physical. So they still could get out from under this. It's mm-hmm. not going to be a release. It would just be that he didn't get
He
failed his physical, right. And they can say goodbye. But I do understand the organization's perspective. I think they handled this right in that if they had released him Friday, the fan base would have revolted.
Yeah.
It's so clear that they need him, given right. the performance of the receivers. I know it's just OTAs, but you know, it's a consistent play that is mediocre that's been the case with the receivers for 4 years now.
But
so,
were they wrong for looking at him as anything other than a talent on the football field? Like, if you're looking at Steph, and you'd have to tell me mm-hmm. because you probably know more about this than I do, having played in the league. But if you're looking to him to be a leader or a role model
mm-hmm.
for these young wide receivers, like, he's not the kind of guy that you would expect would be that, is he?
I mean, I don't like know him personally. There's never really been anything crazy off the field. Just from we know in the locker room, he kind of is selfish and wants the football, but every receiver and offensive player wants that. I think they probably looked towards him and said, all right, you've been in the league a long time, you've had success, and so that would be a good way for some of these young guys. You could be there to kind of, you know, give them some advice or mentor them in that way. But it's
advice on catching the football. It's yeah. advice on running routes.
Yeah.
It's clearly not advice on what you should be doing no. on Memorial Day weekend.
No. It's strictly football okay. stuff. Like, you shouldn't as
it's
a grown...
It's not advice on whether somebody should be calling you daddy or not.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, like
everybody wants that.
But when it comes to football, though, absent Diggs, Josh Allen isn't marrying Hailee Steinfeld or whatever her name was.
She's
not, he's not the MVP of the league. Like, Steph Diggs...
Right.
basically changed the trajectory of Josh Allen's career single-handedly. And what he possesses is the knowledge and ability in how to be an exceptionally skilled, talented receiver in the NFL. And young players absolutely look up to Steph Diggs. If Diggs is there, Baker's acting like a jackass, and Diggs says, get back in there and do it again, you don't think they're going to listen to him?
Yeah, they'll definitely listen to him. I think that's the role that maybe Vrabel wants, or that's the voice that he wants from Steph Diggs. Like, hey, here, do this at the top of the route. Like you said, football stuff. When you're coming out of your break, try to set him up this way. Whatever it is, like on the field, football stuff where Diggs could be actually around saying, oh, man, you weren't aggressive enough on that yeah. route. So,
I mean, do you think the Cardi B thing, I will qualify it as that, is going to be an issue all season? Like, it seems like he's very into the public relationship mm-hmm. with a celebrity
no.
part of things.
I think she's going to be at games. Like, it's definitely going to be a talking point, but it's okay, not going to affect
knows,
him.
She clearly knows what happened last week.
Yeah.
And rather than make it go away for Stephon Diggs, she is posting yesterday mm-hmm. more videos of them on the boat and it's Twerk Central over there or whatever you whatever
Twerk
Central's
good. That works.
But people aren't mad. Like, the team wasn't mad about the twerking. They were mad about the substance that he was giving to women and whether or not that was coke.
Right.
I think if you're Cardi B and you're posting that, you're like, nothing to see here. We had a great time. There was no illegal activity.
Well, the thing about
by the way, guys, the Lobster Bar at noon on Friday with Jones and Keefe, also known as Twerk Central.
There was a lot of twerk going on.
That place got lit.
But the thing about Cardi B, though, and maybe the Patriots are going to have to get used to this, is that, I mean, if they don't know her, like I know her, she says what she wants.
Right.
She's very active on social media, and she's not, like, shying away from anything.
Yeah.
She'll say what she wants. So,
all right. So he is safe for now, Curtis.
Safe for now, but the money hasn't been paid. The roster, the signing bonus is only paid out when he passes the physical. So there's still a chance he's not on the team.
Woo! Interesting. Good stuff, Curtis.
Thank you.
We will be back with the rest of this morning's leads next.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
You ready to depend on Steph Diggs?
Yeah, I think we have to be, Jones.
I think you kind of have to now.
I don't really see what our choices are. I thought you were going to ask me if I'm ready to pass a physical. I don't think so.
Yeah, you already had yours this
year?
I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know if I passed necessarily. I took one.
You know if you failed.
Yeah. Well, I got a chart back with a lot of red. So that's not great. Cholesterol shot.
I always like
really high cholesterol.
I always like when they're like, how many times a week do you drink? And I'm like,
today?
I'm
like, no, a week.
I'm just going to make this sound more like what you want to hear than the real answer.
Like at the scene in Detroiters. Oh, we're counting beers, too?
It's easier if I just do five at a time.
Yeah. You have 20 drinks a night?
Yeah.
Counting beers now? No, but I don't think I could necessarily pass one. I don't know if I would get the clearance from the medical team.
Show content idea.
We all do physicals.
Live physicals. Turn your head and cough.
Yeah,
now.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Sure. Better safe than sorry, I've always said. So I'm up for that.
That's a good call.
Yep, we're getting older.
Rap Sheet says he did pass his physical.
Okay. Good news.
Time to pay him.
I guess that makes sense.
Time to break out the checkbook, Robert. He passed the physical. Time to give him some money.
He's one of the volume one of the installments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The first. So Florio, we talked about this yesterday. Florio had the item where if and when he passes his physical, the first installment will be due within 2 weeks. So break out the checkbook there, Robert.
Send it.
Time to pay him.
I guess it makes sense that maybe we should have put two and two together. Like, if he's on the field yesterday.
We wondered this
running,
aloud yesterday,
like,
watching.
Past your physical.
I'm like, if he's out there doing that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a full participant, but he was going through the paces yesterday. I agree. I think inherently we kind of assumed he passed it. But now one
official.
Of the top insiders in the sport said he passed it.
Yeah.
And so, okay. Mm-hmm. Now you've actually paid him real money. And I'd imagine, despite all the hubbub last week.
Yes.
I think we talked about the idea of cutting him, but I don't think either of us ever.
No, God, no.
Well, neither of us wanted them to do it, and neither of us really thought they would do it. But now that we're through all the hubbub of last week, they paid him some real money. He's going to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the biggest red flag for him. If they haven't paid him, they can move on whenever they want. And I really think last week, in retrospect, and there were a lot of leaks from team-friendly sources. And I think you saw they were just trying to scare him into showing up and threatening his money and threatening his roster spot, and they got him to show up, and okay, let's start anew. Let's start with that question, though. Can you depend on him now? We had the whole issue of last week, the up and down roller coaster of last week. Are we out of the woods? Is it over? Can you depend on Steph Diggs?
No.
Well, listen, allow me, Alex, to answer that. It's definitely not a guarantee by any stretch. However, he has been a wildly productive player in the NFL. Like, when he's on the field, he's productive. And you could talk about, you know, how long he stays with the team or just the overall team success or whatever you want to talk about. But even as a rookie, he breaks into the league, has 720 yards receiving, and up until last year, where he only played half the year, that was the low. That would lead the Patriots in receiving every year for the last, like, 5 years.
Seriously.
Like, that's a great number, and that's half of his production when he went to the Bills.
Right. Since Edelman's knee went to smithereens.
Yep.
It's easily the best receiver they've
had, awesome.
assuming any health. Yeah.
And that was a guy that started 9 games and was a rookie, whatever he was, fifth-round pick, I think he was, coming out of Maryland.
Yeah.
So there wasn't even, like, a ton of expectation around him. That's the low mark. So it is coming off, like, I think it's more the knee than anything else, right? When you say, like, can you trust the guy? Like, he has been this kind of personality, this character, his whole career. And those teams, maybe they have their headaches, right? They see him, they gotta control him, yelling at quarterbacks or whatever. But he's yelling at a quarterback while he's catching 100 balls for 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. So as long as the knee is okay, now that's the question. Like, he's going to be 32 in November. So is he going to be closer to the really good wide receivers that joined the Patriots late in their careers that didn't really do much? You know, like the Joey Galloway, Torrey Holtz, Reggie Waynes. Now, Wayne was much older when he came here and didn't even make the team. But like guys like that, that they took a shot at and then didn't make it. Or is he going to be productive? Does he have a couple? 1 year. You're like, we don't even need to talk about the whole contract. Does he have 1 year in him where he can be a number one receiver? I think yes. I mean, maybe that's just me being too positive. But I think he does. I think he has one more year at least of that.
So can you depend on him? My answer would be I'm now back to where I started with him. Like, I think I've forgiven the boat thing. Like, I wasn't sure all last week how that was going to play out and was he going to show up. The fact he was here yesterday, I'll tell you, I don't think he looked perfect. I won't go as far as Hart did yesterday. He's got a hitch in his giddy up and he doesn't quite look right and he's limping around.
Yeah, no, he was down on it. I thought it was, like, promising considering the guy tore his ACL on Halloween.
I'll be honest, that video looked a lot better than I thought. So, like, now I'm more open to the idea that maybe he will be ready week one. And maybe you will get more than just 12 or 13 games out of him. Maybe you're going to get 15, 16, 17 games out of Stephon Diggs. I'm more open to that. I like that he showed up yesterday. I'm back to neutral with Diggs. And I guess maybe even a little better than that because he looked good on the field from the clips that we saw. And these weren't staged workout videos. These were actual footage from media members down there. You can't hide. You can't edit it out. You can't make it look however you want. You got to go out there on the field, and we're going to film how you look. And I thought he looked better than I thought. So can you depend on Diggs in the relationship with Drake May? Is he going to blow up on Drake May or Josh McDaniels or even Vrabel? Well, I think that's always been in play with Steph Diggs. Can you rely on him health-wise? I feel better about that watching the video yesterday, but I'm still skeptical what he's going to look like when he comes back, if he'll even be ready week one. Though, again, I feel better about that. All the other stuff, like the off-field, Cardi B, boat, pink cocaine, like I all that stuff now, I'm back to saying, okay, I'm back where I was when they first signed him. Sure, I have some concerns. Definitely. I have concerns about anybody who takes 2 weeks to sign and is coming off a major injury in their 30s, who's yelled at quarterbacks before and worn out his welcome. I'm back to all those concerns. But the partying off-field stuff?
Yeah.
I think that's water under the bridge, honestly, for me.
Yeah, moved on. Moved on and was there when he needed to be there. Actually, didn't even need to be there, but it was more like the optics thing. And you're like, all right, how committed is he? And maybe Vrabel was even starting to question that a little bit, or those even higher than Vrabel were questioning that. But he shows up. He's going through it. And honestly, if he was just there and not even doing anything and just sort of standing there talking to Josh McDaniels, he'd be like, all right, at least he's there, but he's running. He's running routes a little bit. He's doing the, you know, obviously there's no contact or anything, but he's doing that stuff. And you're saying, okay, maybe he is on track. Like all these videos that he put out about being like ahead of schedule and whatever, you're like, oh, that's what everybody says. Everybody's in the best shape of their life all the time. But he's ahead of schedule. Like, I don't know. Maybe he is. We've seen guys come back from ACL injuries in 9 months. Adrian Peterson did it and rushed for 2,000 yards. Now he's a psycho, but, you know, guys have come back a little bit sooner. So when you ask, like, can you trust Steph Diggs? I think based on talent and track record, you have to say you trust him more than any other pass catcher they have on their entire roster. That's not the biggest compliment in the world, however,
no.
Based on what they have. But if you're looking down this entire roster now, like maybe I think we still said, or I know I said, we asked the question a couple weeks ago, like who's going to lead the team in receiving yards? And I was like, Diggs. And that was even if he played 13 games. So if he plays 15 games, it's for sure going to be Diggs.
Even if Diggs misses 4 or 5 games, he should lead the team in yards. Because I do believe this. Whenever he gets on the field, he's going to be hyper-targeted.
Yeah.
A, the offense needs it. And B, you need to do that for him to keep him happy and to keep him on board with what you're doing. So even if he's only out there for 12 or 13 games, I think he's going to be getting 7, 8, 10 targets a week. And I think he'll be able to overcome a month off the field, if it's even that. But the timeline looks much more promising for Steph Diggs. You guys can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. That's your phone and your text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. I think it was Urban Surf who said, I always view
my physical as a life or death thing. Like, basically, if I'm alive, I pass it.
That's true. You walk out of there.
Isn't that kind of how a physical works?
I think so.
Like, you're like, I'm here.
But now
I'm alive. I made it out of the. I survived.
It's
the
like
physical.
A car inspection. You get it done once a year, and then when it's done, when you pass it, you're like, this car is in perfect condition.
I should ask for a sticker next time. I'm like, can I get a sticker for the year? Walk around with.
That's a good idea. My inspection sticker. I've been inspected. I am alive. As you can see, I'm alive.
No, but it is.
But you seriously leave physical. The inspection, and you're like, there's nothing wrong with this car.
You drive now. You're like, are you serious? Because I've failed a few inspections in my time. So when you do see the car drive out and has the different color, you're like, yeah,
I did it.
Tricked him again.
We did it.
No, it took 3 years, but it finally worked.
Yes. Like, you did not really look under there, did you?
Yeah, you're not the most thorough. Trust me, I've shopped around on some of these inspectors, and you are not the most thorough.
You give them that $35 so fast.
Yeah, I got to pay for it now? I got to walk away with this?
You can also watch and chat on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Tommy Curran and Phil Perry, Pat's Talk, do a good job breaking these down. We're going to talk to Tom Curran at 1:30 today.
Special time today.
On a Tom E. Tuesday, 1:30.
So no grab bag.
Not high noon. No.
Just kidding.
Grab bags at 1. We're moving around the whole show
people
for you there, Tommy.
People would have been pissed.
So Curran's at 1:30.
Good.
Grab bag at 1. We still got tiers at 11:30. We're going to tier off the top championships
titles.
In team sports.
That's right.
Is that right? Did I say that right?
Tier team titles.
It's wordy. Team titles.
We're tiering team titles.
Is what we're going to be doing at 11:30, plus the key for madness at 12:45. Anyway, so Curran coming later on in the show. This is him with Phil Perry discussing the timeline for Steph Diggs.
So football-wise, had we not had a Memorial Day dust-up, we would be speaking today about the fact most likely that Stephon Diggs is tracking, one would think, for at least partial training camp availability. If we're just kind of reading the tea leaves, I'm not saying he's going to be out there day one. Probably be on the pup list, but it would look to me as if he might be a player who could be taking snaps in preseason games. And if you said, do you think based on what you saw that Stephon Diggs will start the season on the Patriots active roster? I would say yes. I would say that.
Okay.
How about that?
Curran was pretty optimistic last week when we talked to him. He said, don't aggregate this. Don't blow this up. Don't you dare post it, Terp. But he said, yeah, I'm optimistic he can be ready week one, and he kind of doubled down on that. Phil gave you a tweet shortly after OTAs yesterday. Steph Diggs limited but participated heavily in the less-than-full-speed 11-on-11 periods. He also ran hard in the individual periods and challenged other receivers when they had some short one-on-one sprints between the wideouts. You saw that yesterday. That was the Cadillac video.
Mm-hmm.
I only saw the first video where he looked like he was trailing Kayshon Booty.
Yeah.
They also did the drill the other way, where Diggs was the lead receiver and he held off Booty in that drill. So I'll maintain.
You see, they like threw medicine balls or whatever.
They did.
I was like, what is this drill?
Yeah, I've not seen that drill before. I don't think that one was in Jerod Mayo's arsenal. I don't think that was one of the things that Mayo. I don't think Mayo had much.
Not sure what the receivers did last year
when
in
it
practice.
Came to these drills, but no, I don't think that was one that Mayo had in his arsenal. No, I'm now more open to the idea that Diggs is going to be ready week. If he plays in preseason games, like Tom said,
then forget about it.
He's out there week one for sure.
I don't
even if he starts on pup.
Yeah, if he starts on pup, is that an automatic 4? How's that? Isn't there rules
for
that?
No.
Or you can come off anytime.
I think if you're placed on PUP before training camp,
it's like something like that.
You can come back. You can be taken off PUP at any time. If you're placed on it once training camp begins, then I think you got to sit out for it.
And then I think it's once the training camp ends, you have to be taken off or you stay on for 4 to 6 weeks.
That might be what it is, yeah.
So week 5, we've all circled this, including Steph Diggs. Week 5 at Buffalo, Sunday Night Football.
He's back.
He's playing that game.
So I had said before, I'm like, maybe he won't be back until like mid-October. Nope.
October 5th.
Did not realize. I hadn't connected the dots on the Bills. He will be back by week 5. I think now there's a real chance he's playing early on in the year.
Yeah.
I don't want him to rush out there necessarily.
No.
But even if you got to limit his snaps, you got to manage him early. Hey, you're a 50%
still
player.
Still worth it.
50% player week one?
That's still worth it.
I think that'd be huge for the offense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be, for Drake May, for Josh McDaniels, sort of what you can call. Also, you don't need to drag it out and keep a guy like Jalen Polk or Javon Baker on the roster for a couple of weeks just because Diggs isn't ready. You know, because that's what's going to happen. If Diggs doesn't play the first couple of weeks, you're going to keep one of those guys a little bit longer, and then you're going to be like, all right, we got to inevitably cut bait with you. But yeah, I think yesterday, all in all, was a good day for Steph Diggs specifically, but for the Patriots in general.
Well, and yeah, maybe there's a correlation here, but it sounded like a better day for the offense as well. And I think that's something you can tie directly to this. You want Drake May to break out in year two, and you want the team to take a step forward, and you want the offense to look reputable.
Yeah.
I do think Diggs is a big part of that, and he's been at other OTAs, but not when the media has been present. And, yeah, the offense had a much, much, much better day yesterday. I'm not saying that's all Diggs.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a direct correlation to having a guy capable of being a number one receiver and really changing the look of this offense.
Now, it went from his second year to his third year, but Josh Allen was a starter for 2 years, then got Steph Diggs. In his season prior to getting Steph Diggs, Josh Allen went 10-6, threw for just over 3,000 yards, which was 193 per game. His third year, they add Steph Diggs. He throws for 4,500 yards,
hell yeah,
17 more touchdowns,
nice,
and almost 100 yards more per game.
Duck
and
boats.
He finished second in the MVP. So he went from his rookie year where he started 11 games, threw more picks than touchdowns. His second year, he actually had a decent, he had 20 touchdowns, 9 picks, but they didn't ask him to throw it a lot. And you were like, is this guy any good? His completion percentage both of those years, under 60. His first year with Diggs, 69.2.
Nice.
And second in the MVP. Now, that was another whole year of NFL football, right? So I'm not trying to draw that line. Also, that Steph Diggs was 5 years younger and no ACL injury.
Not coming off a massive
injury.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's the same thing, but you saw what a talented young quarterback who was kind of up and down, a lot of down, but you could see that it was in there somewhere. And then how it got unlocked with a number one receiver like Steph Diggs.
617-779-7937. We got your phone calls all day long. Can you depend on Steph Diggs? Is it all water under the bridge? The last week of all the issues on and off the field with Steph Diggs, he's here. He's passed his physical, according to Ian Rappaport, which means he's got some real cash from the Patriots. And I think the roster spot is secure. What's his timeline to be out there? Does it matter if he's out there week one? And do you feel better about it watching some of the clips of Diggs yesterday at OTAs? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll talk to you there. We got Tier Tuesday at 11:30. We got a Key for Madness at 12:45. Grab bag at 1.
Oh, phew.
And Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at 1:30. Let's pick it up with the offense. Better day for Drake May. Better day for the offense yesterday at OTAs right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Mario's Roofing, because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
That was Burt Breer with my friend Trenny Kuznarek on Early Edition, NBC Sports Boston, a favorite of Stiz. Stiz loves to watch that program.
Oh, it's awesome.
He used to think the coolest thing I did in life was appear on that program. He was like, that's so cool, you're on TV.
Yeah, what happened?
It is cool.
Now I have to work till 6 and I can't make it there in time to do that program anymore.
It's the same for me.
It's cutting to my finances, if we're being honest.
I mean, that's when you and I, we've done a couple of shows together.
Oh, yeah.
Back
oh,
in the, yeah. not a lot, but a couple, and always enjoyed those. And,
yeah.
Trini's excellent at that job. She got her own opinion. She's good at facilitating, and I'm not going to lie. I kind of, Burt Breer. Big fan of him. Like we used to do pregame shows together and post, and to watch him work his phone after a game. I mean, it's literally like we're doing the Patriots post game, and Andy Reid's texting him, and you know, Kyle Shanahan's texting him, and it was like, it's
what those guys do. The Schefters, cool, the Crap Sheets,
yep.
The Breers, they work the phones. So he describes sort of the way things went down. Apparently, the one question I would ask Bert if he were on. Well, the one question I'd ask Stiz is, what was that noise that was just in my headphone? You rewinding something in there?
We're workshopping Take Tuesday on the fly. Sorry.
Oh, okay, perfect. That's a good sound for Take Tuesday. Perfect.
I know what your question's going to be.
My question is, how do you know he was truthful with Mike Vrabel?
Although, yeah. Or that he got the message.
Yeah,
What was the message?
I feel like Bert was being very optimistic there, maybe even bordering on naive. Like, I don't know exactly what happened on that boat. I don't think Bert knows exactly, and Vrabel can't know exactly what happened on that boat. He now knows whatever Diggs fessed up to, right, or acknowledged or said what happened on that boat. So I thought that was interesting. And then, yeah, get the message. What does that mean? For how long?
Yeah.
To what end? Because Stiz keeps me updated on the Diggs offset back and forth, which
that's
seems like it's turning
got a little crazy the other day.
Yeah.
Stiz, that, can you tell, share a little bit? You sent that. You sent that one of the tweets that Offset sent to to Stephon Diggs, and it just feels. It feels more than theater. This feels like serious stuff to me.
This feels like the rap world, what Biggie and those guys, like where people end up having issues.
Yeah, this could potentially go down a scary, dangerous road. But for anyone that didn't see it, Offset tweeted the other day. I'm just going to quote what he tweeted. "Now, when somebody dies for playing with my son, they're going to call me the crash out. I don't care how I look. Trolling with my kids will end bad."
So do you know what precipitated that? Like, Diggs is hanging out with his
kids? Well, like I told you, Offset believes that Cardi cheated on him with Stephon Diggs while she was pregnant.
Ew, and that so was an like unborn child?
Yeah, that was like a big thing. And, you know, like I said, Cardi and Offset have had a toxic relationship for years. It's, he was cheating on her everywhere, and then she started doing it to him, and it was with Stephon, and it's just nasty. And, you know, I don't know where Stephon Diggs is from, but Offset, I think, is like from the streets. So
Dan Ball knows.
Dan Ball?
I would like to add that Cardi also said that God told her to date Stephon Diggs recently.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes. I'm with the person that I'm with now because sometimes, I don't know, like, I just feel like God would tell me to give him a chance, which is so weird. So maybe she listens to your same Bible podcast.
Oh, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
You can interpret the Bible really any way you need to interpret it to fit your current situation.
Apparently.
Hey, Stiz, real quick. Cardi B or Kylie?
Come on, Ted. It's Team
question.
Cardi over
dumb
here.
Question. Cardi B all the way.
What's your answer?
Cardi.
Okay.
Stiz on that. I've played with guys that have had off the field stuff, and you know who I'm talking about. We won't say his name, but came to work and like balled out in practice and was a borderline Hall of Famer. Yet you heard all these stories like what was going on off the field, and you just go, how does he come to work every day? Like there's no, and there are guys that are compartmentalize that and come to work every day. I couldn't do that. I don't know. Stephon Diggs is in a special category. I mean, if you look at his behavior, my guess is that then all of a sudden he's become who he is now. He's probably, there's stories out there that, you know, he's kind of has these types of behaviors, but he still balls out when it's time. And the only thing you worry about is if they start losing, he loses interest. That's the kind of where, you know, his mind starts thinking off season as opposed to finishing the season strong. That's what I would worry about.
I also worry that he, like Stiz is alluding to, is now playing on a different level with Cardi B and Offset and the drama maybe being escalated. I go back to the Vikings teammates, that question, who would you not let your sister date? And they all said Stephon Diggs. Yeah. So clearly he had some sort of reputation, but now it's a very public, red carpet, he's in the tabloids type reputation, and I just wonder, does that take more time, energy? Does that more, like, is that more of a distraction?
For most humans, yes. Yeah. For most people, you can't not let that impact how you go to work every day.
Right, right. Like, if I have Offset threatening me, I'm scared. Not going to lie to you, I'm scared. Yeah. I don't know if he's just not scared because he's in that world and that's just what they do. They beef, they back and forth, whatever. But, I mean, I don't want to make this comparison because it's a leap of a comparison, but this was part of the tale of Aaron Hernandez. Remember, like, you should get a flop house. I'm scared. Trade me to the West Coast. Get me out of this environment.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of the road, if you believe this Stiz drama that he's following on social media. That's kind of the road Diggs is going down with Offset. Like, this could be something where he starts to look over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are there people coming to get me?
I don't know how he doesn't, but that's I agree. But your overall point for this segment was just kind of, are there a lot of issues piling up? You know, people will talk about, you know, just the integrating Elliott Wolf with Ryan Cowden. So is that an obstacle that they got to overcome? The Steph Diggs situation, integrating Josh McDaniels into this offense with other, you know, Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator. Not having Terrell Williams, the defensive coordinator here, because of health problems. Are these big issues, small issues, nothing to really look at like Tom Curran thinks, or do you think this is a prelude to maybe what might potentially come?
I think they are varying size or degree issues, And this is some of my, you know, hesitancy to jump on sort of the positive bandwagon of they're a 10-win team. Like Tom just said, well, everything's supposed to be smooth sailing. So, Mike, go out there. You get an easy schedule, especially at home. Mike, go out there and win 10 games. I don't see this team in that mode right now. I think, like, the Steph Diggs one is a perfect example. It seems like it's over until it isn't, right? Because guess what's going to happen? Next week, they have mandatory minicamp. We'll be down there on Monday, by the way. We'll be broadcasting from Gillette 2 to 6, but we'll also be there at practice to watch. So we'll report back. But next week, after they finish that, pretty soon they're going to be sending the players off, right? For that, I know Parcells used to hate this time, that time when you stick by your phone and wonder what the hell are these idiots doing.
I would say the time after minicamp and before training camp is where the majority of guys get in trouble.
So that's when we may find out if Steph Diggs really did get the message and if Steph Diggs is fine. And he's not the only one. You know, there was another little, I'm not going to say kerfuffle, a minor little social media blip last week. I don't know if you saw it. Swinson, the pass rusher out of LSU that they drafted. He had a thing where he said, you know, what I'm going to do with my contract, I'm going to redo my mom's house. I'm going to go buy the Lamborghini, Diablo, whatever I'm going to do. And people were like adding these up and like, dude, you're only taking home like $700,000 as a late round rookie. You're going to be bankrupt soon if you actually think. And
he'd be like most of the guys.
Right.
I mean, the majority of guys think like him and end up bankrupt.
And so the majority of guys are immature. The majority of guys, if you give them a month away from the team, or even just look at the University of Georgia that's had all those incidents with driving and racing and traffic violations, including tragic ones that resulted in the deaths of people. These are those things that can happen. So, yeah, this new football team with this new culture, it sounds great. Let's see how it plays out in the month of July and into training camp. Because once you get them back in camp, at least then you have some sort of authority over them. You see them. They're around all the time. So, yeah, that's an issue. I think Drake May in the offense is just an issue. Until it proves it's not an issue, I have no idea what this offense. Like Josh McDaniels said, he doesn't know what it's going to be. Because guess what? If they only have slot receivers, they're going to be a limited offense. If they only have Diggs and Chisholm and Mac Hollins running around out there, aren't they going to be kind of easy to defend? Aren't you going to have a lot of defenses playing really tight to the line of scrimmage and no one's worried about the Ty Law said it last year. No one on that offense scares me. Who am I worried running by me and making plays? Nobody. If they're the same kind of offense,
Diggs, yeah,
that's tough to, and we'll see. See how healthy he is. Because right now, if he's at 70, 80% out there, that's great. How long does it take him to get to 90, 95, 100%?
So ideally, for a highly functioning offense, you have three elements. You have the running game to kind of keep defensive honest and not play too high safeties. You need the middle of the field, and you need the deep game to open things up.
Yep.
So ideally, you have all three of those elements. The deep game has not been part of this offense for a long time. The running game is, it's there, but it's not hugely, hasn't been impactful. Hopefully, Travion Henderson has that. But, the middle of the field needs to get more focused on, other than just the tight ends. And the slot receiver position has been Josh McDaniels, kind of one of his best things that he's ever developed. Was the quarterback and the slot receiver working together.
Yep, and it's worked throughout this system, even predates him sort of with Charlie and then working it Troy does. Brown, who, you know, we talk about you being just born too plays. Early or too late. I think Troy Brown was born too early. I think if Troy Brown had been born a little bit later and played his whole career with Tom Brady, I think Troy Brown might be getting ready to go in Canton. I am
love
a big
guy,
Troy Brown fan.
When and he
I
played think, like 35 years? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying if he had gotten like 12 years with Tom Brady, I think we're talking about a guy who has, 15,000 yards receiving in the NFL, touchdowns,
no
big
me,
plays. But yeah, that slot receiver and Chisholm is apparently the next great white hope or whatever you want to hype there, you want to call it. We got some phone calls lining up, 617-779-7937, and I love it. Both calls are related to one person, Stiz. He needs his attention, he needs his love, and he needs maybe a little pushback. So we'll start with Franco and Lynn, who has more on Stiz's favorite topic, Diggs versus Offset. What's up, Franco?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know the reason why Offset made those threats towards Stephon Diggs was because Stephon Diggs recently got his hair braided, and Cardi B allowed their son to basically copy that same hairstyle. So that's why Offset is all,
mad about that. And, you know, honestly, I feel like this could probably end bad, you know, with this drama going on.
Thanks for the call, Franco.
It seems reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, I would be livid. Well, if my kid's mom is dating a new guy and then I send my son over there and he comes back with the new guy's haircut,
absolutely.
Oh, it's on.
Does it the fact that she's been calling him out for being a deadbeat dad make a difference?
It's just all piling on.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't really any there's a lot of ugly divorces out there and kids and Ted, you don't need to make faces. We'll just move right along past that, Ted.
Ugly kids.
But this one just happens to include two celebrities and social media and people like Stiz following play-by-play on social media that adds a layer to it.
Well, unfortunately, we see this a lot with domestic when there are domestic issues, you know, that's when things tend to get or can get, you know, violent.
And
there's
we all think
involved and jealousy.
We wouldn't
and rage.
Do it, but I always say I don't know what I would or wouldn't do. Like in that situation, you know, your kid comes home with the other dude's haircut or he comes, you know, and tempers full. You know, there's a reason it's crimes of passion, because when you kind of redline and go from zero to hot and all of a sudden you don't know what you're seeing and doing.
If I'm Vrabel, part of me would want to have a talk about just that. It's like there's just a do you want that out there? Do you want one of your players having a public beef, which is there's a lot of emotions. You get divorced. This guy's around your kids now, but you aren't. You know, it's like, dude, tap down the fervor.
We now have a rapper threatening murder against a Patriots player.
I'll be honest.
I don't have that goes kind of under the radar like it's been.
If this were me running a team and I knew all of this, and let's just say this happened 6 months ago and I knew this coming into, do we want to sign Stephon Diggs? I would probably not. I would like, we don't need that. Our wide receiver room is a mess. Chris Curtis said this the other day. Like, he was brought into a rudderless room where there's just chaos and no leaders and young guys not developing. And he's the veteran, quote-unquote, presence. Like, I don't think I would have brought him in if I knew there was this to go along with the knee and the other and the way he deals with quarterbacks. And he's, you know, a tough mouth to feed. I think I would have just moved on.
The counter is, did you see him working with the young guys, Jalen Polk? There are no OTAs when he's here this
felt
week.
A bit theatrical to me. I think that whole appearance was theatrical.
Some would say that's kind of when he's here and he's present that he's fully engaged. And
but when he's not, he's with Cardi B getting chased by Offset.
Yep.
Like, movies are made about stuff like this, documentaries.
Can Vrabel go to him and say, hey, listen.
No.
Why don't we put the relationship on pause for a little bit? We're paying you millions of dollars to play football.
You can't say that, Stiz, but you can say, can you just not make your tweets public? Because he went back and Offset tweeted him, and then so he tweets back with the catching the pass, right? And so he's kind of he's thumbing his nose at it. He's
fanning
kind of,
the flames.
He's flaming the
flames. You can't tell him
fanning the flames
not to have a relationship or whatever, but Vrabel kind of did that. The first day he was asked about it, when he said, we want our guys to make good decisions off the field, on the field. Like, that was his way of saying, like, can we smarten up a little bit? Can we not be doing all this dumb stuff? But, you can't tell a man, a grown man, that you can't date a woman.
UNC would have done that by now.
There you go. But Vrabes,
how dare you, Daniel?
She's so fun, man. I mean, how do you handle that? I don't know.
617-779-7937. And then another Stiz-related call. Jake and Ludlow, love the subject line, Stiz is stupid. Do tell, Jake.
All right, I got a couple things. I saw the same thing that guy was talking about the braids that Diggs and Cardi B's kid had.
Yep.
It's like I saw the picture of the post. It's literally the same exact braids. So if I was Offset, I'd be pretty pissed, too, to be playing around with my kid like that. But anyways, I just want to talk about something you guys talked about in your three-point stance about the coaching. I don't think you can specifically go off of just your gut or your analytics. Like, the coach has to use both, kind of like you guys talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, they give the analytics, and then he uses that information and then makes a decision with his gut based off of that information. Like, you can't just use one or the other.
Right.
And wrong decisions are always going to be made, and
agreed.
The coach is going to be wrong no matter what.
All right, now get to the Stiz is stupid part, please. Yes.
Stiz is an idiot because while Aaron Rodgers is a douche, you cannot use the vaccine things that Stiz was using. The conspiracy theorists were almost 100% right about that.
That's insane.
The amount that the CDC has backtracked.
Yeah.
Why did Anthony Fauci get pardoned?
why would you pardon somebody that did no wrong? That's kind of weird.
Well, because you have an administration, and listen, I don't want to get too political, but you have an administration that's, you know, vowing vindication, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like going after their enemies.
Vengeance.
Vengeance. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot going on in politics that we don't need to get involved with. But if you want to follow,
why not?
If you get bored with Offset and Diggs, you can follow Trump and Musk, because that's every bit as volatile right now.
That is juicy today, boy.
Friends no mo. And Epstein files.
Like overnight.
Oh, my. It's tremendous. It's, you know, it's the perfect example of, I said this to Dan Ball off here, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Yeah. Clearly, they weren't really friends or loyalty there.
They were using each other. This was bound to happen.
And now that he's outside of the White House and the reach, he is all, Musk is all in on destroying Trump, his fancy bill and everything. Now, he's biased because some of that bill attacks his companies. It attacks Tesla and Hertz. Tesla and those things. But this is the world we live in.
It's
so we're
crazy.
Talking about the Patriots, hopefully number one wide receiver. We know all his dirty laundry because it's on social media. And the president of the United States and the richest man in the world are fighting and having a beef on Twitter.
Bill Belichick.
And just, Bill Belichick.
Goes on and on.
Such a brave new world. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but I enjoy it. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to get to my guy. My guy in the Boston Celtics. I thought for sure Jaylen Brown was going to be leading this team into the 2025-26 season, going to get his chance to shine and maybe lead the team to the playoffs, figure it out. But now we have some close tied in insiders that are bringing up trade ideas that involve Jaylen Brown. I don't care for it, and we're going to get to it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, the man with one singular name, Dan Ball, with What's Trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.